We're back on the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside Tyler Dragon, Charlie Goldsmith. You guys, we made it to the end of regular season. How you doing?
Well, we made it to 2021, so I'm just happy about that. 2020, I mean, it's not a laughing matter. It was a rough year for all of us, but hopefully in 2021 there will be new beginnings and just happiness and health for everyone.
Tyler, I think this is the third or fourth straight podcast you've led with an inspiring message. I feel like you had one for Christmas, you had one before the new year, now you have one after the new year. I hope we keep the streak going.
I'll try. I know Bengals fans need to know. In all seriousness, we all need it after the year 2020 was.
Moving on to 2021, and the Bengals, they already have news. Zach Taylor coming back for year three, and obviously reports of assistant changes, and we'll get to that in just a moment. I really wasn't surprised with this. It's easy to look, they were without Joe Burrow for 6.5 games. They did battle a lot of injuries. Not to say that's an excuse, because you look around the NFL, every team has to battle them. I just wasn't surprised with this move. How did you guys feel?
I was not surprised at all. The Bengals are known for keeping their coaches for a long time. Just look at Marvin Lewis, was in Cincinnati for 16 years. I asked Zach Taylor at the top of the press conference, how does he feel about, being retained and staying in Cincinnati for a third season when all around him there are openings across the National Football League. I believe at this time we're recording, there are currently 6 available jobs. And some of those jobs are open with teams that finish with better records. Coaches are getting fired with much better resumes, i.e. Anthony Lynn. But Zach Taylor was kept because of his relationship with leaders and the core players on the team. They all have his support. They play hard for him. And for evidence, look no further than the Monday night win in week 15 and the road win in Houston in week 16. The Bengals could have easily laid down and checked out of both games. They were not playing for anything. They could have been, booking airline tickets to Tulum, Cabo, Paris. I know we're in the middle of a pandemic, but they could have been checked out. Instead, they played hard and won both games, first winning streak since 2018. Now, you can argue that they did lay down versus the Baltimore Ravens, but they did also run into a team clicking on all cylinders and, ready for the postseason. But in totality, Zach Taylor is staying around because of the relationship that he has built with team leaders and the core players. And look no further than Joe Burrow, who's supported him during press conferences and on social media. Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, Jesse Bates, Von Bell, DJ Reader. When you have the support of core players like that, that are going to be in Cincinnati for multiple years, and you're also winning football games at the back end when you're not playing for anything other than pride. Mike Brown and the rest of the front office, they looked at that, they evaluated everything and felt as though that Zach Taylor has earned, another year, and hopefully the team can be healthy so they can really assess how Zach Taylor and the coaching staff, a revamped coaching staff, I might add, are going to be able to perform. So that's the biggest thing. The Bengals have to get healthy. They had 10 players on injury reserve to end the year. You can say 11 if you count Trey Hopkins, who suffered a torn ACL in the season finale. So health is the biggest thing, and why the Bengals, you know, really were not competitive at all during the regular season. But Zach Taylor is brought back because of his relationship, and they did not want to fire him because they know that he was not playing with a full deck of cards for most of the season.
So we didn't expect Zach Taylor to get fired, did we? I mean, from one, the national reporting that had come out in the weeks leading up to the game against Baltimore, from the conversations we had on this podcast, and then, as Tyler mentioned, from the support that Taylor had received all season, but then especially on Monday, that never seemed like the most likely outcome. What was not quite surprising but interesting was the fallout on Monday. We heard from two important people on Monday. We heard from Mike Brown and we heard from Joe Burrow. Those are two people we have not heard from in a while. Obviously, Burrow more recently than Mike Brown. And I had two main takeaways from what we heard about from each of them. First, you know, we could do a close reading of Mike Brown's statement and debate that for the rest of this podcast, but specifically his line, next year, we, the Bengals, will reap the benefits of 2 years of losing. He didn't quite say it like that, but he used that phrase, reap the benefits of the past two seasons. So that shows that the feeling in the organization is that these past 2 years, the rehaul of the entire roster, the tear down and rebuild at multiple positions like linebacker and at cornerback and on the offensive line and now the defensive line, that leads you to believe that they're saying this third year, okay, it's time to be a winning team. The other person we heard from, of course, was Joe Burrow, who obviously didn't have anything quite as groundbreaking to say in his tweet in support of Zach Taylor, but was a reminder of something we've discussed before. He, I think, is the most important opinion of anyone in the Cincinnati Bengals franchise. He's the most transcendent player the Bengals have had probably since Anthony Munoz, the most transcendent player the city of Cincinnati has had for decades. I think that's a debate we've had on this podcast before in terms of popularity, in terms of his meaning and significance to the franchise. You know, he's just more important than someone like Andy Dalton or AJ Green in their heyday, or even Carson Palmer at times, just because again, of what Palmer ended up, how he ended up being impacted by injuries and then leaving early. And then just the overall ceiling of Burrow is one of the best, you know, quote unquote draft picks of the last decade or so. So the fact that Burrow, who is known for being intelligent, and the fact that Mike Brown, who is known for being the guy in the chair who makes the decisions for the Bengals, said what they did on Monday, I think that was the fallout. That was the takeaway. And that's what I think is important to keep in mind going forward. But the end result, Zach Taylor staying, I don't think that was ever a question.
You bring up a good point, because Joe Burrow doesn't tweet a lot. And it was really timely because we heard from the players, we hear from Zach Taylor, and maybe an hour later, Joe Burrow tweets out his support for the franchise and what they're doing going forward. And I think that's huge, because social media can be a scary place. And I happen to look at some of the mentions, not all of them, because there are several to Joe Burrow after that tweet. And a lot of people said, well, if Joe believes, I believe. And I think that's telling, because Joe's voice matters. Do I think Joe's the reason Zach Taylor's coming back? No, I don't think that's it. I think they are going to give him another chance because of the injuries. And I think they have built a relationship and chemistry. He's a former quarterback coach. What he was able to do with Jared Goff when he was in Los Angeles was telling. And you can even see it, even though Jared Goff is injured right now, it really did help the quarterback room and in their relationship going forward. Let's go to the assistants right now, because I know Tyler has it up on Cincinnati.com. Reports are the Bengals are going to move on from their assistants. I know it's all not official yet, including Jim Turner, who a lot of people wanted out of here when you look at the offensive linemen. I want to go to the coordinators. Are you guys surprised? It's not official, as I mentioned, that Lou Anarumo is going to be given another chance after what we saw this past Sunday.
Well, I think the Ravens are still running. They rushed for over 400 yards. That was a terrible run defense performance by the Bengals defensive unit. I mean, whew, that you don't get much worse than that. They finished the season ranked 26th in total defense. I am not surprised the Bengals are sticking with Lou Anarumo. You know, there was some positive moments during the season for the Bengals on defense. And again, you can, it's the same thing on offense. Lou Anarumo was not playing with a full deck of cards. You look at DJ Reader, suffered a season-ending injury. Geno Atkins might as well have suffered a season-ending injury at training camp because he was not the same. Trey Waynes never played this season. You know, you look at that. Carlos Dunlap was disgruntled and ended up leaving the team, and now he's playing with Seattle, playing good, I might add. So the defense just they underperformed, but they were also severely handicapped because of injuries. And, you know, when you're playing the likes of the Baltimore Ravens, they're going to expose you. And they got exposed in the season finale at Paul Brown Stadium. But to answer your question, I'm not surprised. You know, Zach and Lou Anarumo do have a good relationship. Lou Anarumo has an extensive background in the secondary. The Bengals secondary, highlighted by Jesse Bates and Von Bell, played pretty well during the course of the season, especially, you know, safeties. The cornerback play was inconsistent, but again, William Jackson III, I mean, he wasn't as consistent as the Bengals would like, but, you know, he missed some time. Darius Phillips, I mean, they were playing, you know, undermanned for a majority of the season. You can say the whole season because Trey Waynes did not play. And on the offensive side, you know, Zach Taylor calls the plays. And, you know, Brian Callahan does have some input, and he does give, you know, advice to Zach, and does have, you know, puts his influence on the offense. But, you know, he's essentially, I mean, you could almost say an assistant coach instead of a coordinator, because he just has his pulse on, you know, the offense, but Zach Taylor is calling the plays. So he's just kind of Zach's assistant on the offense, not trying to, you know, downgrade his role in the team or anything, but there's really no sense of firing Callahan because he doesn't have a traditional offensive coordinator type role, because traditionally offensive coordinators call plays and they have a larger influence on the offense, and Brian Callahan does not. So I'm not surprised, but there, like I said in the story, there are going to be coaching staff changes. Jim Turner is out. Nick Eason is out, the defensive line coach. The defensive assistant, Chapman, is out. Wide receivers coach, Bob McNeil, is out. And Jamal Singleton accepted a job to become the running backs coach at the University of Kentucky. There could be more changes. But those are the ones that I know are true at this point.
So the Bengals had some glaring issues this season, and we spent a lot of time on this podcast discussing them. Some personal favorites, the way the offense looked after Joe Burrow went out, what happened with AJ Green struggling, John Ross and his inability to hold on to that starter role, Carlos Dunlap not producing as well in Cincinnati. Third down defense, third quarter offense, et cetera. Part of our job, part of what we do is, you know, figuring out more, ask asking, finding out what we can, highlighting and pinpointing, you know, some of the reasons for these specific issues. And what's so fascinating about a corporation, a business like the NFL, is that for all of the hours of conversations we've had on this podcast, the hours of conversation we've had on Zooms with Bengals players, names like Nick Eason and Jamal Singleton and Bob McNeil never come up. Jim Turner did, which is a separate conversation. But there are a number of assistant coaches who, for someone, for probably anyone outside of someone who's not inside that building every day, it's kind of really hard to distinguish what in the or what in the defense is Lou Anarumo's responsibility and what in the defense is, say, Nick Eason's responsibility. So that's kind of the weird part in talking about these coaching changes, because, you know, you can point to Nick Eason, show how the defensive line was unable to get a certain amount of sacks this season, struggled stopping the run, didn't get many quarterback pressures, but it's hard to pinpoint exactly who some of that weight falls on. So that's made this whole assistant coach conversation very strange to me. Because again, it's hard to have a reaction to these assistant coaches leaving. Many great assistant coaches have been fired in the NFL, and I'm not saying any of these coaches are going to be the next Bill Belichick, but I'm saying I'm curious to learn more about what these moves mean for what is going on in the inner workings of the Bengals locker room.
Tyler, you mentioned there could be other ones. Is there going to be any surprising ones?
You're always trying to get me to drop something on this podcast, Lindsay. I mean, I do not think there'll be any surprising ones. I can say that. I mean, were either of you surprised with the coaches that will not be returning next season?
No, we pretty much knew that middle of the season. There was no way.
Really? So you weren't surprised that Bob McNeil is not going to be returning, or yeah, Jamal Singleton?
I will take that back. I think I was more focused on the D-line and then looking at, obviously, the offensive line and Jim Turner. I will take that back. The wide receiver one was a little questionable to me because I felt like the wide receiver room performed with what they had when you looked at a guy like Tyler Boyd and even T. Higgins in his rookie season. That was a little surprising for me. And then the running back room, I mean, they were without Joe Mixon for almost the whole entire season. So, you know, they ended up getting the run game going late. So, yeah, I would say those two were surprising.
Well, I will say, you know, the running back coach, Jamal Singleton, that was his choice. He did not get fired. I want to make sure I am clear on that. He decided he wanted to go in a different direction, and he was offered the running back coach job at the University of Kentucky, and he accepted that offer. So he did not get fired. They did not ask him to leave. It was a personal decision that he made.
Two quick points real quick. One on the wide receivers coach and one on the running back coach. With Bob McNeil, I will give him an A or an A-plus in the development of guys like T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, even Alex Erickson, Auden Tate, Stanley Morgan. I think he got everything he could have possibly wanted out of those guys. Out of players, specifically A.J. Green and John Ross, not as much. But again, you're not sure really how to divvy up which responsibilities. And then from a running back perspective, I just think it's ironic that Singleton is now going to Kentucky, whose new offensive coordinator has come from the Los Angeles Rams, their quarterback coach, who is being touted as the next Joe Brady / Zach Taylor, because that was a job that Taylor held as well under Sean McVay. So I just think that's ironic that he's going from working with Zach Taylor to now Singleton to now working for the guy who filled Zach Taylor's shoes once he left Los Angeles.
How long is the leash next year for Zach Taylor and his coordinators?
All these hypothetical questions. Oh man, you're putting me on the spot. The Bengals front office, I mean, they have a reputation of sticking with coaches through thick and thin. And we saw that with Marvin Lewis. I saw it from afar when I didn't even cover the team. And so based on previous history, their track record, I can see no matter what happens, the Bengals sticking with Zach Taylor for the entire 2021 season and then making a final decision after the season. Now, if the Bengals start 0-12, maybe they'll have a change of heart. And as you know, as an analyst myself and a writer and reporter, and for the fans' sake, I do hope that if Zach Taylor does start 0-12, that the front office would make a decision. You know what? Zach, you are a nice guy. You know, you mean well, but this isn't working out here. Because that will be another terrible, awful start for him. You know, so there was a slight improvement this year. A two-game improvement, and they tied a game. So you saw, you know, a step in the right direction. It wasn't much, but you saw a moderate improvement. Now, in year three, you have a chance to draft some more of the players that fit your scheme. And you have, you know, players in your system for a couple years now. Then you have free agents that you can pick up that you identify as personnel fits. And so you should start seeing more improvement for the Cincinnati Bengals, for the Zach Taylor-led Cincinnati Bengals in year three. Now, if there is an improvement and the team remains healthy, if Joe Burrow comes back healthy, Joe Mixon, DJ Reader, Trey Waynes, all these players that they spent a lot of money on and, you know, our franchise cornerstones, if they're healthy and playing majority of the season and this team still can't win more than four games, then if I was the owner, if I was the Bengals GM, I would throw up the deuces and say, Zach, you know, it's been real, but – It's time for us to move in a different direction.
Here's what I'll say. I'll say that for any conversation we have about the Cincinnati Bengals, specifically conversations that, you know, people like maybe from a national scene, looking from the outside, looking in, any conversations that they have about the Cincinnati Bengals, the first question will be about Zach Taylor's future with the franchise. As Tyler said, it's crucial to win next season from Zach Taylor's perspective. So from that angle, you got to get a backup quarterback because you don't want Joe Burrow's injury situation to be clouding over into the ability to analyze the team early in the season, or Joe Burrow's injury situation being the reason for a poor record at the start of the season. You can't afford that. For a coach who started with the record that Zach Taylor has, that's a really tough middle ground to be in. So this conversation, I think, is just another reminder the Bengals just have to go out and get someone a quarterback to back up Burrow as he recovers. Because again, these first few games of the regular season for the Bengals, I think, are going to be crucial. And I don't think you can have the same injury excuse that coaching staff and Mike Brown even used when you have an entire offseason to plan for it now.
Charlie, you have a great document over on Twitter that really shows the turnover this team could really face with some of the free agents leaving. Obviously, they're facing injuries. Who's coming back in 2021? And this team has to compete. There's three teams in the AFC North that are going to go to the postseason, and the Bengals are sitting at home with an embarrassing record, and they couldn't really compete in their division. They won one game. You could say one against the Browns was close. This team has to spend money again in free agency. And I feel like we've talked a lot about the free agent casualties, the guys who were injured, who never really got on the field. You look at Trey Waynes, even DJ Reader. Those guys are coming back. But Does this team, look, they're more than likely going to move on from Geno Atkins. They're going to more than likely move on from AJ Green. You open up some space. Do they have the money to spend this offseason like they did last year?
Well, you know, as a consequence of the coronavirus pandemic, you know, the cap is estimated to be around $176 million. And I believe that's a $22 million decrease from last season. So I believe as of right now, the Bengals are going to have roughly around $40 million in available cap space. And that's not counting if, you know, they release, I mean, cuts veterans like, you know, Geno Atkins. The Bengals, I have been told that they are going to try to spend some of their money on retaining top talent. That's like Carl Lawson, who is an impending free agent. Jesse Bates, who is heading into the last year of his deal. But then I can also see the Bengals maybe going after an offensive lineman, primarily maybe the interior of their line, get a guard, maybe even re-sign Quinn Spain. If they don't believe they are in position to draft Penei Sewell, I can see them perhaps spending money on a tackle, or they may draft a tackle at number 5. You never know. The Dolphins could move down. there are some teams that could move down in the draft. You just don't know. So I do believe that the Bengals are going to spend some money, but since the salary cap is going down and the numbers aren't really official yet, I know that it's not going to be they aren't going to be as active as they were last offseason. I'm pretty confident when I say that. So they're not going to spend upwards of $140, $150 million on free agents. That is not going to happen this offseason. They do need to upgrade, though. They have to play catch up, like you alluded to. Three teams in the AFC North finished with winning records. The Browns had 11 wins. The Ravens had 11 wins. The Steelers had 12. And the Bengals had 4. So they have to play catch up by a lot. They have been left behind in the division. And part of that is attributed to injuries. We all understand that. But, you know, there needs to be significant upgrades to this Bengals team, and they have to play much better, and they have to be healthy to be able to have any sort of chance to compete in this division, because the teams in their division are better than them by a long shot right now.
So last season, the Bengals had a record-setting free agency in a lot of ways. It was crucial. I think that this season free agency is going to be even more crucial for the Bengals. Even if they don't spend as much, what they do in free agency, I think, will be more impactful to overall wins and losses than what they did last season. Kind of, I'll circle back to free agency in a second, but look at this draft. I think you have two guarantees. You got a guarantee that Trevor Lawrence is going to go number one, and you have a guarantee from a Bengals perspective that there will be no guarantee that Penei Sewell will be available at 5. You cannot base your free agency plans off the idea of getting this high-end tackle with the 5th pick. As a result, I think the Bengals need to be proactive in addressing needs, specifically the offensive line in free agency, so you're truly in a position that no matter how the board falls on draft night, you can take the best player available. It's fascinating to look at the Bengals depth chart. First of all, because they have starters injured at basically every position on offense, and they have starters leaving at virtually every position on defense, or literally every position on defense. The Bengals are in a spot team building wise to where while the defense needs starters at every level, the biggest need remains on the offensive line. We saw enough from guys like clearly Bobby Hart and Fred Johnson and Michael Jordan this season to know that you cannot roll those guys out and expect to have a top 10 line in the NFL. When you look at a jump like the team like the Browns made, Buffalo as well, I think that offensive line play is going to be so crucial that you have to get there early on. Again, the Bengals have too many needs to leave it up to chance on draft night. That's why what they do in March is really going to be the reason that, you know, the determining factor for how many wins they have in the fall.
Yeah, waiting for the cap number to be official. And I think Charlie mentioned you got to be active again. And depends on what they're going to do, because I know a lot of fans obviously want to focus on the offensive line. I said it on Twitter earlier today. You go heavy in free agency on the offensive line, you get a playmaker like Ja'Marr Chase. I did talk to Austin Gale over on PFF, and he'll talk Bengals fans into the best player available when you look at round 1 and 2. Plenty on Cincinnati.com. What do you guys have up there?
So I have a story on why the Bengals ended up keeping Zach Taylor for a third season. Story on what's going to happen now for these Cincinnati Bengals as they transition into the offseason. And later on in the week, I will have a final report card on the position, each position group for the Cincinnati Bengals.
I have the Bengals free agent tracker up on Cincinnati.com saying who is eligible to leave the Bengals and how that impacts the depth chart.
Go ahead, Tyler.
You're supposed to lead it with like a nice intro, Lindsay.
I know. Honestly, I was afraid.
Go ahead, Tyler.
I was afraid you didn't have a question, and I was like, all right, I got to somehow wrap this up just in case he doesn't have one. But yeah, it's time. It's special time. And if I had some audio, I'd throw it in right now because it is the question of the week by Tyler Dragon. I'm ready. I know Charlie's ready. Go ahead.
That's a better tease. I do appreciate it. Now, questions of the week, if there's two, they're pretty simple. I think you two know where I'm going. First one is, who is going to win the college football national championship?
I'll go first. It's going to be Alabama. I think Alabama is the best college football team. I was really impressed with Justin Fields, what he was able to battle through in the game against Clemson. And I don't even feel like that game was close, which was really surprising. I had Clemson in that game. So I like Alabama in this one, and Ohio State's dealing with a lot of COVID issues.
Alabama is good enough to get its, I want to call Sark a retread, but a coach who's been through the mill, the head coaching job at Texas. I think that is more a testament to Alabama's talent than anything. Alabama is my college football playoff champ.
I agree. I think Alabama's going to win. I just like the way Alabama plays football. I like how they are a run-oriented team. I like their running back. I think they have a pretty good defense. And, yeah. And the Heisman Trophy winner, I might add. So going back to the NFL, the Bengals are out, but you know it's wild card weekend. A lot of people say it is the best football weekend. So I want you guys' wild card predictions. We'll start with the Saturday games. Bills versus Colts.
I like the Bills.
Of course you do. You're a closet Bills fan.
I'm loving the Bills right now. They're so fun to watch. Josh Allen should be in the MVP conversation. He shouldn't win it, but he should be in the MVP conversation. I think they're fun to watch. I think they're probably the best team for a matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think they'd win that game, but I think that's what we need to see in the AFC.
I mean, I wasn't able to watch the game live because we were at the Bengals game, but I saw what Buffalo was able to do to Miami. That offense has been operating consistently at another level for a while. And, you know, the Colts have a solid defense, but come on, even the Bengals looked like world beaters against them. And I think Buffalo is legitimately one of the top offenses in the NFL, and they keep steamrolling on to the next round.
Okay, we're still unanimous. I have the Bills winning too. Second game, Rams versus Seahawks, an NFC West playoff matchup.
I like the Seahawks. I really do. I like Pete Carroll in the playoffs, and I'm just not really sold on the Rams right now. So I'll go Seattle.
Poor Los Angeles. I mean, you get back to this playoff spot and you have the questions of quarterback that they have. And now you run into a Seattle defense that is playing very excellent at the moment. They'll be able to just throw a lot at, honestly, Goff, but also Wolford if he does play a lot that they're not used to.
We're agreeing too much. I'm not liking this. I have Seattle and Russell Wilson advancing in the wild card round. I have them over the Rams as well. Bucks, the Tom Brady-led Bucks, and the Alex Smith-led Washington football team with probably the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, Chase Young, playing at a superb level right now. Who do you guys got?
I like Washington's D-line, and of course, Chase Young versus Tom Brady. I am totally here for it. I cannot wait for Wild Card Weekend. Like you mentioned, it is the best weekend in football. I just like how that Bucs offense is rolling right now. Tom Brady, man, I think he had struggled prior to this season. He didn't look like the old Tom Brady, but I like the way they're operating offensively, so I'm going to go Bucs.
My controversial opinion is that I think this game will be close, but that's as bold as I can get, despite how Ron Rivera has rallied Washington from some controversy and built a team that's playing with either an injured quarterback or a quarterback with no experience, despite the fact that Washington has rallied in that way. I do think it'll be close. I think the football team is better than it showed against the Eagles. But I think they're going to have to score 24, 27, 30 points to win, and I don't see a recipe for that.
Interesting. Yeah, I disagree with you there. I think that's going to be the most lopsided game on Saturday. I have the Bucks winning pretty handily in the nation's capital. So Sunday's games, in my opinion, they are the best, in my opinion. I think they're the most competitive. And they're the juiciest matchups, in my opinion. It starts off with the Ravens versus the Tennessee Titans, which is going to be my type of football. There might be 80 rushing attempts in that game, and I'm going to love every single one of them. So who's your picks?
I'll have Charlie go first.
Man, I remember I was just thinking back to how the Titans basically broke the Ravens in the 2020 playoffs, and how that fueled an offseason of doubt for a team that entered the year as Super Bowl contenders and for a team that probably should have entered this year as Super Bowl contenders as well. I think we're still going to see Ravens Chiefs in the AFC conference championship. And I think that just the Titans offense and specifically Ryan Tannehill isn't rolling quite as much to the level they were at last season. Last season, I really do believe Tannehill was a borderline MVP contender. And this season, Derrick Henry's been excellent. The Titans are still a very good team, but I think Baltimore's just playing too well right now.
Look, they can run the ball with Derrick Henry, and we're going to see that on Sunday. But I just like the way Baltimore's playing. Baltimore is playing, and Tyler, I'll give you credit because you were rolling with them, and I felt like Lamar Jackson just didn't look like Lamar Jackson, the MVP from last year. And he finally got it rolling, and it was after the COVID situation when he came back. And just the way they've been playing offensively, and I like them overall as a whole offensively and defensively. I think I'm going to take Baltimore because I think in the playoffs, out of all the three teams from the AFC North, Baltimore's playing like the best team.
Yeah, you can make an argument that Baltimore is playing like the best team in football right now. They're going into the postseason with the winning streak, and I think Lamar Jackson wins his first playoff game as a starting quarterback. So I have the Ravens going down to Tennessee and ending the Titans season. Second game, Bears versus Drew Brees and the Saints, which could be Drew Brees' last postseason in the NFL before he becomes on our side, a broadcaster.
You're not expecting me to pick Mitch Trubisky, are you?
Hey, you might be able to pick. I mean, the Bears picked him over Patrick Mahomes, so you might be able to pick him to win a playoff game.
Well, the Bengals picked John Ross over Patrick Mahomes.
That's true. I wasn't going to bring up that sore subject for Cincinnati fan.
Saints by a lot.
You know what? I don't even – it's still crazy for me to believe that the Bears are in the playoffs, and I don't believe it. I actually had the Saints prior to the season, a little bit of a humble brag here. I had them in the Super Bowl on the NFC side. I don't know if they're going to be that way now just because of the way Aaron Rodgers is playing, an MVP quarterback. I'm going to go Saints in this one. I'll say by two scores.
Okay. We all have the Saints on this one. I think that's fairly easy pick. Now, the last game Sunday night is probably the toughest one. The Browns, unfortunately, they've been affected by COVID-19. The Steelers are hosting the playoff game. AFC North matchup. The teams know each other well. We know them well. Who is going to win up in Pittsburgh?
I think that the pass rush is almost draw to a standstill. And interior-wise, they're pretty much even. I think the biggest difference maker is Cleveland's running game and the superior quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Despite the COVID issues going on, I think that, you know, NFL teams know what they're doing by now. And who knows, maybe this will be the different pick on this podcast, but I'm going to pick Cleveland to win.
I would have picked Cleveland to win if they were going to have their head coach there. I think he's just been a game changer. Some would say could be coach of the year, even though I'd say it's Sean McDermott. The Steelers, they haven't been playing good football. Obviously, we saw that on Monday Night Football. They got it together when they played the Titans. And yeah, they played some of their backups against Cleveland last week. The Steelers normally are a different team in postseason, but it's been a while since they've been on a run. I think I'm going to go Pittsburgh in this one, but I think it's going to be an ugly win.
This is the first time we're going to have different picks. It took the last game, but we finally have different picks. I have the Steelers too. I agree with Lindsay. I think that, you know, the coronavirus is going to affect the Browns. They could have even more players out of the game. The coach, Kevin Stefanski, he's not going to be able to coach, and he was also the play caller. So I think that is going to impact the Browns tremendously. They're also on the road. That doesn't really matter that much this year. But Pittsburgh, they rested some of their players in the season for now, and I think that they are going to win a playoff game. But I do think Pittsburgh is going to be one and done. I don't think their record is a good indication of, you know, good barometer of where the team is at and how good the team is at. But I do have them beating the Cleveland Browns and knocking the Browns out of the playoffs. So we finally have a disagreement. It took the last game, but that's fine.
I can't wait.
That concludes my questions of the week.
I love them because that had me really pumped now. Now I'm ready for Wild Card Weekend to do absolutely nothing, just like I did on New Year's Day and just watch football all day. It's going to be a great weekend of football.
Well, I definitely approve of, you know, your weekend plans. I don't know if I approved of, you know, how you bring in the new year, but I do approve of your upcoming weekend plans.
You're saying it like I went out and partied. I would like to say to everyone here, I went to sleep before midnight. I had sweatpants on and I didn't really do anything because I hate New Year's. I'm excited about a new year, but I think it's so overrated. So I didn't do anything fun. I'm ready for football all weekend.
If you would have partied, I might have reprimanded you on the podcast, but you did not party. You were responsible.
I'm going to wrap it up with this last question to you guys, just because we're talking about postseason. Okay. Are the Bengals going to be in the playoffs next year?
Oh my goodness. Charlie, I'm gonna let you, y'all two answer it. I'll go last again.
Charlie.
So how many teams are in the playoffs next season? Because next season, are we up to a 10-team playoff or are we up to a 12-team playoff per conference? These are the important questions.
You know what? It's just like in Major League Soccer where pretty much every team gets to go. No. We are going to the same format that we saw in 2020.
Yeah.
We have all season to discuss this. All offseason.
No, you have to. You have to. Our minds will change.
The Bengals, as of right now, I'm not predicting the Bengals to make the playoffs next season.
Tyler, go ahead.
I mean,
this is kind of
the Bengals have not been in the playoffs since 2015. They have not won a playoff game since the 1990 playoffs. I believe that they won a playoff game, what, January 6, 91? My memory serves me correctly. Charlie was not born. Lindsay, I don't know if you're walking yet. I was barely walking. Yeah, not that that has anything to do with now, but to answer your question, I do not see the Bengals making the playoffs next year. I honestly think that they are a couple years away from seriously competing in the division. And I've said this in articles. I've said this in podcasts. I've said this a lot. I know Bengals fans don't want to hear it, but I do not see this team competing in the division in 2021. I still think they're going to be last in the division. And in 2022, that is when I can see them competing a little bit more in the division. People have to realize that the Steelers' window is shrinking, primarily because of Ben Roethlisberger. So their window is shrinking because they haven't found a replacement for him. And you can see it in their offense. They can't find, you know, a running game, and their defense is kind of carrying them. Big Ben isn't really able to push the ball downfield anymore. So they kind of win with complementary football, and that is why I said they're the worst 11-0 team that I had seen in all my years covering football, because they just did not look that good to me, and why the Bengals ended up beating them on Monday Night Football. Now, the Ravens and the Browns, they're two 11-win football teams, and the Ravens, they are a young Super Bowl caliber team, and the Browns are on the rise and they're in the playoffs. So these teams are ahead of the Bengals, and the Bengals are probably just as young, but as of right now, the Ravens are a young and better team, and the Browns are probably just as young, but they're a young and better team. So that is why I say what I say, and the Bengals, they're still a few years away from saying, okay, this team has legitimate playoff aspirations, and this team can make the playoffs, and we will be surprised if they do not. I will not be surprised if the Bengals do not make the playoffs next year or the year after, but I see them competing and being in contention more in the 2022 season. That's not to throw away the 2021 season, but I see them finishing last again next year.
This was supposed to be a yes or no question, but I really appreciate all your commentary to explain to people why the Bengals are not going to make.
Because I know that for me saying this, my ads are going to blow up, and then you're going to end up reading them and replying to them, because I don't read the mentions.
Don't tweet, Tyler.
Explain myself and elaborate why I said what I said.
Yeah, don't tweet Tyler. He's never going to tweet you back. I agree. The Bengals are going to make the playoffs next year. They're going to do it under Joe Burrow's rookie contract, but we've already talked about all of that fun stuff.
No, hold on. I'm going to put you two on the spot then. Are the Bengals going to make the playoffs in 2022?
If they don't, then I think that I've said it before, it's an organizational failure. If you have a quarterback as good as Joe Burrow and don't make the playoffs in the first three seasons.
Okay, but do you expect the Bengals to make the playoffs in 2022?
Honestly, I don't even have a prediction for that. They have two off seasons to get there. They could have seven different O-linemen by then. I have no idea.
Not only do they have to make the playoffs under Joe Burrow's rookie contract, they got to win a playoff game. And look, there's a few years left, and we can talk about all that stuff as the days go on. And I'm not predicting anything in 2022.
Oh my! You guys copped out.
I don't even know what's gonna happen in 2021 right now. So no, I'm not doing that. But yeah, they're going to make the playoffs under Joe Burrow's rookie contract, but it will not be next season. You guys, there's plenty on Cincinnati.com. I know you guys will have it covered. You have the Senior Bowl coming up, free agency, the combine, and the NFL draft. So we're not going anywhere. There's going to be plenty of work. You're going to want to check it out over on The Enquirer, over on Twitter, ENQ Sports, follow Tyler and Charlie, and on Instagram, ENQ Bengals. Thank you for listening to the Bengals Beat Podcast.